The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hi, this is Larry Wilson for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Money Matters. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from AARP the magazine and also from money.com. Our first article from AARP the magazine: Find a better credit card. Cash rebates, travel points, balance transfer offers, and more make exploring new options worthwhile. If you haven't reviewed your credit cards recently, it's time to take a close look. As inflation has soared, pushing shoppers to alter their spending habits, banks have revamped many of their credit card offerings, trimming or adding perks and adjusting reward systems. Those changes may limit the cash rebates or points you can earn, as well as complicate the task of managing your benefits. Reviewing your own spending patterns will also be helpful. Perhaps you're taking that long-awaited overseas trip and you want to earn points with that spending. Or maybe you're staying closer to home and you rarely use your high-fee travel card. You may want to tweak your card lineup to cut costs, maximize rewards, and maybe even nab a sign-up bonus. One important caveat: if you haven't been paying your balance in full every month, clear out those debts before you start credit card shopping. The rewards won't be worth it if you're incurring interest on unpaid balances. As inflation has risen, credit card interest rates have climbed to an average of 20.53% in August of 2023, the highest level since 1985, according to Bankrate.com. If carrying a balance isn't something you're doing, however, these tips then can help you find the best credit card for different types of spending goals. Be sure to check offer terms before signing up, since they can change at any time. If you're an everyday spender and you want a no-hassle cash for daily purchases, then a smart option may be a flat 2% cashback card. A cashback rewards card is a great way to take the edge off today's higher cost, since you automatically earn a rebate for your spending, typically 1% to 6% of the purchase price. Some cards give you a flat percentage on all purchases. The no-fee Wells Fargo Active Cash Card, for example, pays 2% with no limit, and the Citi Double Cash Credit Card, also no-fee, pays a 1% rebate on purchases and a 1% as you pay down your balance. You can also find cashback cards that pay higher rewards for purchases in different spending categories. The rebates from the no-fee Capital One Saver One Rewards credit card includes 3% cashback on dining, grocery store purchases, except at warehouse stores, and certain entertainment and streaming service purchases. Rebates are 8% on entertainment booked through the Capital One Offers portal, 10% on Uber Eats, and 1% on other purchases. The no-fee AARP Essential Rewards MasterCard from Barclays gives you 3% back on most gas and drugstore purchases, 2% on eligible medical expenses, and 1% on all other purchases. With some cards, the reward categories shift periodically. The no-fee Chase Freedom Flex card pays 5% on up to $1,500 in combined spending in categories set by the issuer, which rotate every 3 months, 5% on Chase travel bookings, 3% on dining and drugstore purchases, and 1% on other spending. In the end, it's hard to go wrong with a straightforward cashback card. The flat 2% cash back card is surprisingly tough to beat for simplicity and value, says Ted Rossman, senior industry analyst at Bankrate, who has opted for one himself. But if you can stay on top of different spending categories, you can deploy an additional card for specific purposes. If you're a traveler and you want points for airline tickets, hotel stays, car rentals, dining out, and more, then a smart option for you may be a flexible travel card. Frequent travelers who stick with a particular airline or hotel chain, such as Delta or Hilton, often opt for a credit card tied to that brand. That way, road warriors can earn seat upgrades, free hotel nights, waived check bag fees, and access to airport lounges, among other rewards. The cards typically provide additional benefits such as a travel insurance, rental car insurance, and no-fee foreign currency transactions. But brand-centric cards may not be the best choice for occasional travelers, says Adam Van Dusen, a financial planner with Kites.com, who has researched credit card rewards. That's because many of those cards carry annual fees, perhaps $95 to $500 a year or more, while limiting the highest awards to spending on those brands. For a more flexible choice, consider a general-purpose travel reward card that offers a variety of options for redeeming points. Chase Sapphire Preferred, annual fee of $95, lets you apply your points to several loyalty programs, including United Airlines, Southwest, and Marriott. But you'll earn the highest number of points, 5, for each $1 spent on travel, if you book through its Chase Ultimate Rewards portal. The no-fee Capital One Venture One card offers 1.25 miles per dollar spent, but 5 miles per dollar spent for trips booked through Capital One Travel. It's important to monitor travel cards' point systems for claiming rewards, since they can be complex and change frequently. American Airlines, for example, recently raised the number of points for earning the lowest tier of elite status while adding new tiers of rewards. It can be challenging to keep up with these programs and to determine if you're getting value, says Van Dusen. Some travel cards offer hefty sign-up bonuses, but be careful. Typically, the bigger the bonus, the more you'll have to spend quickly, perhaps thousands of dollars within 3 months of opening the account. You don't want to overspend to get those rewards and find yourself in debt, especially with rates as high as they are, says Matt Schultz, chief credit analyst at LendingTree. And if you're a loyal shopper and you want deals at your go-to store, a smart option for you may be a flexible branded rewards card. Most major retailers offer a branded credit card, which gives loyal customers discounts, free shipping, and other perks. But the rewards are often limited to store purchases, and if you don't pay in full each month, you'll likely be charged a steep interest rate, which can exceed 30%. If you carry a balance, you should definitely avoid store cards, says Bill Hartikoff, co-founder of BillSaver.com. Other branded credit cards, however, pay rewards on general purchase spending. The Citi Costco Anywhere Visa card, no fee for members, pays 4% on eligible gas and EV charging purchases up to $7,000 annually, 3% on restaurant and travel spending, and 2% on Costco purchases and 1% on everything else. Amazon Prime members can get a no-fee Amazon Prime Rewards Visa Signature card, which offers 5% on Amazon and Chase travel purchases, 2% on gas, transit, and restaurant spending, and 1% on other purchases. You may be able to stack your rewards by combining shopping apps and reward cards, says Rossman. For example, If you use an online shopping browser such as Rakuten, which gives you a rebate, you can have added savings by paying with the retailer card that gives you the highest reward. And if you want to be a debt cutter because you've been struggling with high rate balances, a smart option for you could be a balance transfer card. If you're seeking to pay down a credit card debt, consider a balance transfer credit card, says Jill Gonzalez, spokesperson for WalletHub.com. This move will allow you to shift your debt from a high-cost card to one that charges little or no interest for a set grace period, typically 18 to 21 months. Recently, the no-fee Wells Fargo Reflect Visa card offered a 0% transfer rate for 21 months. In order to qualify for a balance transfer card, you typically need a good or excellent credit score, perhaps 700 or higher, and you'll generally have to pay a fee up front, perhaps 3% to 5% of the balance, which can be a big investment. You need to pay off the balance by the end of the grace period, or you won't be doing yourself any favors, says Hartikoff. If you have trouble qualifying for a balance transfer card, you might instead try asking your credit card company for a lower rate. Card issuers are more likely than before to grant rate reductions, says Schultz. A recent survey by LendingTree found that 76% of people who asked their card issuer for a lower rate in the past year got one. The average interest rate reduction was 6 percentage points. And if you're a rookie and you have a loved one who needs a first credit card, then a smart option for your family member could be a secured card. If you have a college-age kid or grandchild without a card, one option is to add the newbie as an authorized user to one of your cards. That can help your relative build a credit history, and it can also provide a learning opportunity for how to manage spending. Another option is to add the person as a joint owner of your card, which is something that Apple and U.S. Bank let you do. Unlike adding an authorized user, this choice will give you equal authority to spend and put you equally on the hook for the bills. If you'd rather not share plastic, your family member can get a secured credit card, which lets people build a credit history on their own. Secured cards require a deposit, often $200 to $300, which sets the credit limit. After the cardholder makes consistent payments for 6 to 18 months, the deposit is returned and the issuer may upgrade the card to a traditional, unsecured version. Secured cards are offered by most major banks. Some, such as the Discover It Secured credit card, offer rewards. To avoid late fees, encourage your family member to set up automatic payments, says Rossman. He or she can also opt to get notifications when transactions take place or the balance approaches the credit limit. Those alerts can be helpful for veteran cardholders as well. Our next article from Money.com. How to find the best regional bank for your needs. For a lot of folks, a bank is something you stick with through thick and thin, either out of loyalty or laziness. That's beginning to change. By one measure, more than a third of Americans recently surveyed by Caliber said they are likely to change banks this year, a higher reading than in recent years. That's due in large part because of soaring interest rates and the banking industry's recent rough patch following the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank, Signature Bank, and others. Potentially, a lot of money is on the line when switching. According to the FDIC, the national average savings rate is 0.45%. Many major banks have rates even lower than that. The APY for a savings account at Bank of America, for example, is 0.01%. To entice new customers, many regional banks are leading the way by attractive rates, both on savings accounts and certificate of deposits. By doing a little shopping, it's possible to land an APY much higher than the national average. In fact, the best savings accounts right now often offer 5% APY or more. Regional banks also have the added perk of being more rooted in your community compared to the, quote, too big to fail chains that are seemingly on every street corner. If you're considering making a switch, don't skip over regional banks. What to consider when choosing a regional bank? For Money's Best Banks ranking, our staff combed through scores of regional banks and noticed several trends in interest rates, fees, perks, and more. Based on our research, here's what we think you should keep in mind when choosing a regional bank. Number one, location, location, location. One of the biggest observable differences between national banks and smaller regional banks is the number of bank branches. National banks may have hundreds or even thousands of branches across the country. By contrast, regional banks may only have a couple dozen locations spread across a few states. Just because a bank is located in the Southeast, for instance, doesn't mean it has a large footprint in every southeastern state. So be sure to check how close the nearest branch is to you and whether that meets your needs. Similarly, mind each regional bank's ATM presence. Several regional banks partner with nationwide networks like Co-op and Allpoint that give you access to thousands of fee-free ATMs. But not all smaller banks offer this. Number two, financial product offerings. Not every regional bank will offer every type of loan or financial service you may need. Some may focus on the key deposit options like checking, savings, certificates of deposit, and money market accounts. Other regional banks could have additional offerings such as health savings accounts or HSAs, home loans, or mutual funds. When narrowing down your regional bank choices, think about what you need right now. Yes, but also consider your future needs. For instance, maybe you'll soon want to buy a house or car, or having those loan options lined up could be important to you. As mentioned in the pros and cons, regional banks may be more flexible when it comes to lending, since they tend to be more community-focused institutions. While some national banks maintain very strict lending standards, a smaller bank may be willing to take other factors into consideration, like side hustle income, when lending to you that bigger banks might not want to consider. Number three, fees and penalties. It's very common for standard deposit accounts to have a service fee. This fee can range anywhere from $1 to $15 per month and possibly higher depending on the type of account. These fees and the ways in which you can get them waived can vary widely from bank to bank. Sometimes getting a fee waiver is as simple as enrolling in e-statements, or as tough as maintaining a $2,500 daily balance. When comparing banks, mind not only the maintenance fees, but also look at how easy it is to get them waived. Here are some other fees that you may want to compare. Overdraft and non-sufficient funds, or NSF fees. Depending on the bank, overdrawing your account could result in a hefty fee, usually $30 or more for typical regional banks. Some banks are starting to waive overdraft and NSF fees entirely. However, while others may give you an overdraft cushion of, say, $10, meaning they won't charge you the fee if you overdraw your account by less than that amount. Excess transaction fees. For money market and savings accounts especially, excess transaction fees are common. These types of accounts may come with a set number, usually 6, of free transactions per month or quarter. If you exceed that limit, you could get charged a fee for every transaction thereafter. Thanks to a rule change at the Federal Reserve, banks are no longer forced to implement transaction limits on certain accounts. Still, many banks have them and aren't afraid to charge you for exceeding them. ATM fees. ATMs are in a bank's network are almost always free to use. However, if you use an ATM outside of that network, chances are you'll get hit with a fee from your bank, and possibly from the ATM provider too. Since regional banks tend to have a smaller network of ATMs, this fee is worth paying attention to. Typically, foreign ATM fees, as they're called, should run no more than a few dollars. In some cases, the bank may even reimburse the first few fees each statement cycle. Number 4, online access and customer service. One of the biggest critiques of smaller banks is that they have fewer resources to dedicate to customer service and online banking access. Of course, with any regional bank, you can always go in person to your nearest branch for help, but not everyone enjoys making that trek. If easy assistance and the ability to bank on your own time is a high priority for you, ensure the regional bank you choose invests in those areas. By definition, regional banks are multi-billion dollar institutions, $10 billion to $100 billion in assets, according to the Federal Reserve. So it's definitely possible to find one with great online banking and customer service. One simple way to gauge this is by visiting the bank's website. As you poke around, you could note a few things. Does the bank have a smartphone app? Are rates and fees easily accessible online? Is the bank trying to direct you to a branch or agent for basic information? Is there chat, email, or other assistance available besides phone and in-person customer service? If a bank's website is extremely sparse or appears outdated, that could be a clue that their customer service and online banking capabilities are too. Number 5, the bank's financial health. The recent collapses of several banks have spooked many people, making them less trusting of banks. Whereas consumers would pay little mind to their bank's balance sheets in years past, more folks these days may want the peace of mind to know that their bank is in good financial shape. Instead of digging through quarterly reports, you can get a sense of the financial health of your short-listed regional banks by checking their ratings. For example, Weis Ratings, a financial rating firm, maintains a user-friendly database of a bank's safety ratings on a scale from A+ to F and U for unrated. You can simply type the name of a few of the top contenders into the search box and compare their safety rating to see which one stands out. Then, all that's left is opening the account with the regional bank that best meets your needs. And our last article for this episode, and we'll try to get most of this in. We may have to edit it. We'll see how much time we have. Are you putting too much money in your high-yield savings account? This article is from Money.com. When you're making money without having to do anything, it's easy to throw the blinders on instead of stepping back and scrutinizing. Yes, I'm earning a return, but is it the best way to do it? High-yield savings accounts are a prime example. Ally, one of the best-known online banks, is offering up to 4.25% interest on savings account deposits. Other online banks like Varo and Bass Bank are offering APYs as high as 5% for their high-yield savings accounts. When you compare these rates to the current national average of 0.43%, as of this writing, throwing a bunch of cash into a high-yield savings account may seem like a no-brainer. But depending on your financial goals, there might be more potent ways to grow your wealth. High-yield savings rates aren't built to last. High-yield savings accounts are having a moment right now. With interest rates as high as they are, it's expensive to borrow money, and not just for consumers looking to buy a house or open a new line of credit. It's also expensive for banks to borrow from other banks. By offering savings accounts with higher than usual APYs, banks like Ally can lure in a higher number of clients and a larger pool of cash deposits. Many experts expect the Fed to pause and maybe even begin lowering interest rates in early 2024. As this happens, banks will adjust their own rates accordingly, meaning the APYs on high-yield savings are probably going to drop. The current rates on these accounts offer a legitimate way to build passive income, similar to bonds and money market accounts. But since those APYs aren't locked in, they can change at any time. They're not workable replacements for other growth investments, especially in the long term. Although the yields look really attractive on the high-yield savings accounts right now, I wouldn't necessarily want to have money there instead of in equities or other types of investments if you have a long-time horizon, Amy Arnott, analyst at Morningstar, says. Mutual funds, ETFs, and stocks are more volatile than savings accounts, but they yield far better long-term returns. Take the S&P 500. The index has seen an average annual return of over 12% in the last decade, far better than even the highest high-yield savings, APYs, in a full year of inordinate saving rates. Tim Steffen, Director of Advanced Planning at Baird, says young people especially should embrace equities as the best long-term growth strategy, since you have plenty of time to overcome whatever kind of market volatility you might experience over the next 30 or 40 years. But even if you're more risk-averse, he adds, it's usually a better idea to look to investments like certificates of deposits, or CDs, or money market funds, which do let you lock in an interest rate and carry similarly high or even higher rates than high-yield savings accounts. For most investors, the best way to leverage a high-yield savings account is to use it as an emergency fund. And this article will be edited due to time constraints today, because we are now out of time. Thank you for joining us, and be sure to listen to us again next time. On behalf of the North Carolina Reading Service, this is Larry Wilson. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving our community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Money Matters is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please give us a call, 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.